Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschapte De Sacharne. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ekalavya Prabhu, please ask whatever you wish to ask.
Maharaj, thank you for this wonderful opportunity. We would like to ask you, what inspired you to accept the renounced order of sannyas?
Well, Prabhu Vishnu Swami. That's the answer. I wasn't thinking of it. I thought maybe when I'm 50 I'll take sannyas. At that time I must have been about... Actually, I can calculate it, how old I was. It must have been 81. Because I was put on a 5-year waiting list. So the year I took sannyas, which was 8 years after I was put on the list. So it must have been, I must have been about 24 at the time when Prabhu Vishnu Swami said to me, why don't you take sannyas? And I said the same thing, that, well, I was thinking of it when I was about 50, I thought I might take sannyas. I didn't have any immediate plans. So he talked a little bit. He said, well, you don't want to get married? No, I don't want to get married. You want to go on preaching all your life? Yes. So he said, okay. Put me on a 5-year list. 5 years came up, and it was 1986. It was a very bad year in our movement. Yeah, there was a lot of dissension. There were major guru fall-downs. At the 1986 festival, Gaur Purnima Festival, I could have taken sannyas, but I didn't. And shortly after that, before the end of the year, Bhagavan, Bhavananda, Rameshwar, they all fell down. So I didn't think, it wasn't a very auspicious atmosphere. So the sannyas ashram was at a very low level of respect. So I was passed to accept sannyas at that time, but I didn't. 3 years later, I thought, well, anyway, I'm traveling and preaching, and it would help if I took sannyas. So I did. I asked if I needed to get it ratified again. I was told no, so I took it. So, unless a devotee in our movement has a very specific preaching purpose, and for that reason they want to take sannyas, they really feel it's going to help them in their taking sannyas, I would say, wait until it comes down to you, the proposition that you take sannyas. You can be a sannyasi in word and deed and thought without accepting sannyas officially. And we see there are some brahmacharis in our movement who are respected and on the level of sannyasis just by their activities. Although they don't have... And some brahmacharis are more than some sannyasis, in, clearly in terms of their spiritual achievements, in their preaching achievements. So, if necessary, if it's deemed by your superiors to be helpful for your service, then accept sannyas. For grihasthas, for those who have been grihasthas for a long time, then taking sannyas is more, it may help them more, the symbolism of sannyas, that I'm finished with all that. For one who's a brahmachari who's living the life of renunciation anyway. It may not be so necessary. Maybe helpful also in terms of, like I thought, I didn't need to accept sannyas, but I thought, well, it would help that devotees would recognize that and help with facility and this and that. So there may be different. Every case will be different.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, what challenges do sannyasis face in general, and you've faced personally, and how to face these challenges?
These are all very big topics. I'll speak a little bit about this. I have several hundred pages of notes from my own. When I say my own realizations, it means given by Krishna. I become a medium for that. And from the thoughts of others and culled from Srila Prabhupada's writings and from Shastra, I want to make a book at some point in time on sannyas in Krishna consciousness. I don't know if it'll happen. My body's getting older and there's so many things to do. If anyone wants to help me compile that, that would be a good meditation for someone who's preparing to take sannyas. Well, the challenges are many. Maya is always there. Maya doesn't go to sleep. Maya doesn't say, oh, you've took sannyas, now it's okay, goodbye, it was nice knowing you. Or rather, she says, I am your best friend. She may come in different forms to a sannyasi. But basically, Maya is always tempting in the form of Dhanjan and Sundari. And I've heard it said that some women are particularly attracted to sannyasis, so that's keep away from the female species, in the language of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Doesn't mean one has to be rude or nasty, but keep a safe distance. Even if you think you're impervious, you're in trouble. If you think you're impervious to trouble, you're in trouble. And even if you are impervious, then you should always remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's warning, Shanyashira Alpa Chidra Sharba Loke Gai. The slight fault of a sannyasi will be broadcast widely. So it doesn't look very good if a sannyasi is very closely associated with women. So that's there are so many challenges. And sannyas is meant for taking more challenges. It's not meant to be a medal for old brahmacharis. It's meant for taking more challenges. Sannyas in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is especially meant for preaching. And as I documented in the book that I made on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, preaching means fighting. It's quoting Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he said that especially the duty of sannyasis to open the eyes of these owls, referring to people who deliberately don't want to see. So sannyasis, they have to be prepared to fight. It's not meant to be like that, just patting babies on the heads. Of course, the sannyasi has a social role also, but don't become too comfortable in that. There's physical comfort, mental comfort. Sannyasi shouldn't look for any of these. It should be, as Srila Prabhupada said, he wanted the benediction to fight for Krishna up to his last breath like Arjuna. That's the real spirit of sannyas. So challenges, yeah, take them. If you're in a situation and there are no challenges, then no particular challenges, then find something challenging. There's a there is what is sometimes sarcastically called within ISKCON the comfort zone. I guess Dubai is something like that, where they're treated very nicely by the devotees and preaching to the faithful. But there's a huge field of people who have no knowledge of or interest in Krishna consciousness. So that has to be faced all over the world. There are huge areas of the world where the Krishna consciousness movement isn't established in any form whatsoever. The whole of Africa is hardly touched. The Muslim world is hardly touched. Even within India, it's the... It must be the second or third largest Muslim population in the world. Indonesia must be number one, and I'm not sure whether India or Pakistan is number two. But if Pakistan is two, then India is three. There's over 100 million Muslims in India, so we're not preaching to them. So these are just examples. These are tough fields, no doubt. And you might say, well, why not go for the easier ones first? But we should take on the tough ones too. I mean, I'm saying these things, but I have to get out there more too. I'm meditating a lot recently that there's this whole upswing of unabashed atheism in the Western world. Our movement should reply to that. It's going on in a small way, in an oblique way, by Druta Kama Prabhu as Michael Cremo, challenging standard evolution theory. But we haven't, as a movement... Well, there have been one or two articles in Back to Godhead, but we have, as a movement, we haven't replied to that. And they are doing a good job, actually, of bashing up Christianity and Islam for their very poor philosophy. So, but their overall conclusion is wrong, if we are to accept what Krishna says, which we do. So we should combat that. So challenges are there, yeah? Sannyasi should take up challenges. The first challenge is to maintain sannyas. There's a lot of service for sannyasis also in maintaining the devotees, so that's there also. So challenges for personal maintenance of one's own spiritual life, challenges within the society of devotees. Srila Prabhupada said to sannyasi should help to keep the wheels turning. It's just like a train, the wheel has to keep on. That was a motto. Well, Srila Prabhupada, he said that about the GBC, a motto from the Indian railways, that everyone, all the Indian railways staff, whether they're ticket collectors or sweepers in the office, they're all helping to keep the wheel turning, directly or indirectly. And there's the whole world of preaching outside to the non-devotees. So there are all kinds of challenges. One personal challenge, I find, is within the context of modern ISKCON, is maintaining my integrity to following Srila Prabhupada and remaining with ISKCON, because I don't find that I find in many ways that the two don't always coalesce, and in important ways they don't coalesce. So that's a great challenge for all devotees, unless you want to be a blind follower. But Srila Prabhupada never wanted, and especially sannyas. Brahmins shouldn't be blind followers, and what to speak of sannyasis. So how to address issues within our society that's a great challenge. I won't go into it in detail now.
Why
Maharaj, what about money? The challenge of so much Guru Dakshina may come, and that could also become a challenge.
Guru Dakshina can be a challenge. Now you're conflating the roles of sannyasi and guru, which for many of the, this interview is supposed to be especially for new sannyasis, most of them won't officially accept the role of a guru probably very soon. For me, I don't find it a challenge, money. Money comes to me quite a lot, but I don't find it a challenge because I don't keep any of it. I don't manage it myself. I give it to others who manage it for me, and it goes for printing my books, and any extra goes for, a little bit goes for travel and this and that, and the rest goes for various projects. So, building up a big bank account, why should a sannyasi do that? I do have a bank account. It's required for booking tickets online and all this kind of thing. But I don't manage it. There are devotees I trust to manage it for me. In that personal bank account, I don't keep more than 50,000 rupees, which is a little less than $1,000. Because if you go above that, then the Indian government takes away tax. So yeah, the best way to manage money is don't keep it. It's not yours anyway. It's not ours. Sannyasi is meant for serving Krishna. It seems to me very strange to have any, to amass funds. So, it shouldn't be a problem. Don't, personal property, keep it to the minimum, whatever we need for our service. Personal house and all this kind of thing. Not a very good idea. In some places, in some farm projects, which some disciples of mine have started, they're building me a house. So I may go there and write. But that should be open to all other, other sannyasis who visit and this and that. And just simple. Otherwise, the farm project is meant for plain living and high thinking. And we have a super luxury apartment in the middle of it. It doesn't exactly set the right mood. It may be that a sannyasi can accept opulence also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada showed that example of accepting opulence, but that should be for the purpose of preaching only. Just like Srila Prabhupada, and he had, after he got that Bhaktivedanta manor, the plush quarters are there, and then so many big people were brought to see Srila Prabhupada who probably wouldn't have come at the old Berry Place temple, which was a small place, not so impressive, but Bhaktivedanta manor is very impressive, so Srila Prabhupada would welcome there. In Melbourne also had very impressive quarters and impressive, in an impressive house, and so many important people were brought to see Srila Prabhupada. So it can be used for preaching. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purpose in accepting opulence. He used it for preaching to people who otherwise, because they only see externals, who otherwise wouldn't have been interested in speaking to him.
Maharaj, can you give some advice for aspiring sannyasi candidates?
Well, yeah, I've given some already. There's much to say. Like I say, I have lots of stuff written down in unorganized notes. So if anyone wants to spend a year or two organizing it all, we could make a book. It's important. Sannyasis have such an important role because they're looked up to. Read Prabhupada's books carefully, be absorbed in them. Remember always that you're representing Srila Prabhupada, so maintain gravity. Remember that there are no breaks from sannyas at any time. There are no holidays or there's no going back. If you think you're going to go back, please don't take sannyas. If you think that you might go back, then please don't take it at all. It's a one-way street which is meant to go back to Godhead. No U-turns. And always try to set a good example for others to follow. Because devotees will look up to what you do, and if a sannyasi is not strict, then others, they'll take that example. And the sannyasi himself, maybe he doesn't need to be so strict, but others will take it as an excuse. And then they won't take. Then they won't advance. So a sannyasi should. What is that? Srila Prabhupada wrote. He's an actual example of renunciation. He's respected for his renunciation. So that should be seen. There are many, many things to say.
Maharaj, regarding dealings with the feminine species, then as a sannyasi, often all different kinds of devotees will request for darshan or advice. So what strategy do you adopt that you find conducive to your relationships?
Mataji's mothers, of course, you don't meet them alone. Don't discuss their personal affairs, that should be referred to either senior Matajis or to Grihastha devotees, Grihastha males. And women should be married, so they function as a unit, husband and wife. I don't say that it's the duty of a sannyasi, even if the woman are his disciples, to intimately instruct them about all their problems and all this and that. That's it.
How can a sannyasi maintain good health while traveling?
Good question. Stop traveling. It's a conundrum. Well, I just came from the swimming pool. Little exercise every day. But better you ask Prahlada Nandaswami about that. He can answer much better than me. He's the expert, so. I didn't manage that well myself, so I'm not really the acharya of this. Yeah.
Maharsha, what else would you like to add?
No, that's all, because like I say, I have a lot of stuff, many observations, but that's all. We need many more sannyasis in our movement. But you can't just make them by rubber stamping. Should be good caliber. And should speak strongly, especially the sannyasis. They should read Prabhupada's books, hear what he says, and reproduce in their own words. Srila Prabhupada's message is strong. Especially the sannyasis are meant for speaking strongly.
Maharaj, if we would develop more of a training program for new sannyasis, how should we go about this?
Well, I hadn't thought about it, and just off the top of my head, I'm not sure what to say. It's something that could be discussed with other sannyasis. But actually the life of a brahmachari preacher is in and of itself the training for sannyas. In my case, in many ways, there wasn't, and I'm sure that's true in many, if not most, cases of devotees who accept sannyas from the brahmachari ashram. In many ways, there wasn't a marked change in my lifestyle. There was a marked change in the way that devotees perceive me. But otherwise, my activities were very similar. For those who have been grihasthas, then we'll have to see that there should be a period of vanaprastha. There may be some grihasthas who, toward the end of their grihastha days, are living in a detached way. But although both ashrams are meant for purification, the approach and attitude between the grihastha and ashram and the sannyasa ashram is quite a big difference. So for grihasthas, there may be more training. For someone who's been a brahmachari for many years, they may not need so much special training to be a sannyasi. For a brahmachari who's in line for sannyas, they should be a de facto sannyasi anyway. For someone who's been a grihastha, we'll have to see how much they've been able to imbibe that mood. But the mood of a sannyasi, one major point is that grihasthas, they generally interact with females, whereas sannyasis don't. Of course, sannyasis, they may talk to them and encourage them, but some psychic distance, a physical distance and psychic distance has to be there, which isn't there for, should be there also for grihasthas. If apart from dealing with their wife, there should be a psychic difference if they're speaking to anyone else. Psychic difference means they don't come very close. There should be an emotional barrier so they don't come too close. Grihasthas who have been serious devotees, they can make very good sannyasis, but it'll have to be seen. For them, more training is required, maybe traveling with sannyasis. That should be seen. Grihasthas who have been devotees for a long time and whose family responsibilities are, of course, they never finish. The mayas, they come in the form of, maya comes in the form of grandchildren for elder grihasthas, and again they get entangled. But their immediate responsibility is when their sons and daughters are married, especially their daughters are married. So such grihasthas can make good sannyasis. So there's to be shown some program to extricate them for their own good and for the good of human society and for the good of the Vaishnava society. That so much experience and realization they have, knowledge. So giving them sannyas, it gives them a platform on which to share that with others. Otherwise they may not be recognized to the degree that they should be, and they may not develop to the degree that they could do if they're not given that badge, sannyas, that upadhi, designation.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.